How's everyone doing? So I want to preach on something. Actually, before I say that, I've never wanted the announcements to go on longer, ever. I did when I was sitting up there. So we're going to be preaching on what is generational bias and how to overcome it, something that everyone tends to have to a certain degree, some more severe than others. My generation has it. Every generation has it, right? So what is generational bias? Well, it is saying and or thinking that one generation is worse than the other in every way, and their generation was the last good one. A good example of generational bias is like widespread stereotypes between all of our generations. You know, whether it's Gen Z, millennials, baby boomers, boomers. And I'm not going to point out which generation I think is which. That's probably not a good idea. But I can tell you what these stereotypes are. So for the different generations, millennials, one of theirs is they're considered, they were considered lazy at one point by the generation before them. And baby boomers were considered techie literate just because they didn't grow up with technology like I did, and they didn't get technology introduced to them until they were I'm not going to say the exact age again, but until a certain age. And Gen Z being lazy and soft, which is a very common one too for ours. And the thing about it is it can lead to unfair judgment among all of us, and it can lead to us discriminating against each other, even if we don't realize we're doing it. You know, and it's often just because we lack experience with each other. You know, generations between maybe within like three of each other, the third generation and the first generation, they don't tend to talk very often, unless it's their grandparents or their grandchild. And because of that, the only experience they have is what they see people doing when they notice it in public. Now, if you can go ahead and flip your Bibles to Matthew 9, verse 11. So Matthew 9, verse 11 to 11 says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Now, what this verse shows is that a perfect human being, Jesus, was able to sit with dirty sinners. I mean, these were people that, you know, people in that time, they did some pretty bad things that we look back on now and we're like, that's, you know, it's barbaric, and it's just a culture that was around them, what they allowed. I mean, you look at the different cities that that were in the Bible and how rotten and sinful they were. Most of these people were like that. They were all not exactly the greatest, yet a perfect human being still put all of that aside and managed to sit and eat with them, people that we probably wouldn't have sat and eaten with at all. Now, here's some examples of things said about different generations, but in more in-depth. In the 1960s, the 1960s baby boomers generation started saying that the 1950s Generation X was lazy, spoiled, and ignorant. Sounds familiar to what they say about us. This next one is a newspaper about Gen Z, and it's quoted as saying, "Everybody is getting too darned lazy, and nobody wants to work anymore." And the reply was, "That's the truth if I ever heard it." Well, that was not about Gen Z. That was actually made in 1952, which, if you look in some of the things that are said about us in the media, that is almost word for word, minus maybe the darned. We don't use that word too often anymore. That's almost word for word what was said about our generation and even the generation before ours. And this was said about the baby boomers, not Gen Z. The ones who they always say they were never lazy, right? They look back and they say, "We were never lazy. We always did this and this," just like I would like to say about myself, even if it's not true. Now, another article was made in 1969 and said, "Nobody wants to work anymore." That was the headline of it. And that was 1969. That's a different generation again. And the same generation that was calling their future generation lazy was also being called lazy, which is kind of weird. Sounds a little weird to me. Somebody has to be lying here, or they were just both lazy. So if you still don't believe me, in 1940, it was said, The trouble nowadays is everybody is on relief or a pension. Nobody wants to work anymore. So again, the same thing was said, except about the 1940s generation, about them being on a certain thing and that they were lazy. Now in 1922, it was said that the world, quoted saying, the world sucks because nobody wants to work anymore. That's 1922, the same thing. In 1905, and these are all from newspaper articles that I was able to find, 1905, it was said, they are unreliable and no one wants to work for wages, which is saying the same thing, no one wants to work anymore. All right, that's what they perceived the next generation as doing from their experience of seeing it. Now, this next article was written in the year 2000, and it said, what is going to happen next winter? Next winter, it is becoming apparent that nobody wants to work these hard times. Well, this generation in this article must prove that Gen Z is just lazy, right? It's saying the same thing, maybe we're lazy. Well, that was actually the oldest article that I was able to find, and it was not about Gen Z. It was written in 1894. So that's pretty old. That's the farthest back I could find. There might be farther back, but I mean, that's them saying that they just don't want to work. And I feel like people can see how that could be harmful about how people perceive their own generation and how they perceive the future generations and even the past generations. Here we can see every generation is discriminating against each other, yet we still do this today, even though we are supposed to treat equally just like Jesus said and did. I mean, I can see now, even on the internet, I think there's some babies that are in here. That's Gen Alpha, and they can barely, like, they're just starting to talk and get into school, yet there's already people, even before they were born, literally before they were born, saying, you're lazy, and y'all are going to be doomed, and this and that, and already hating on a generation that's not even around. I mean, it wasn't even around yet. Right. We don't even have a chance to show, or they don't have a chance, I'm not Gen Alpha, they don't even have a chance to show that they're not lazy, right? And then we're just getting into the workforce, so we still have to show that. Now, the quote-unquote, this specific generation is inherently more lazy than the other, is rooted in cognitive bias and lack of context. It is a phenomenon known as kids these days. Now, cognitive bias is when you slowly but surely forget the bad details of stuff in the past, such as childhood, and only remember the good things, or the opposite, which is the same reason why court cases cannot be solved by witness testimony alone. After a certain period of time, they might perceive something completely differently that they really didn't see. They don't mean to do it, but they do. I mean, if you think back in your childhood, the older you get, sometimes if it was a really bad one, you might see it as really bad, but then you might ignore the bad parts and only think of the good parts. You might think of the good stuff you did, not the bad stuff you did. You will often remember stuff also based on your current beliefs and not past, otherwise known as selective recall. And when they compare each generation to themselves, they often compare themselves to how they are now and not how they were when they were that generation's age. It would be not very wise for somebody in their 80s or 90s to judge somebody that's in their, that's 10, and be like, oh, you're not very wise. I can't believe you don't know that. Well, they're 10. You're in your 80s and 90s, you've had this long to do this, right? You have, and your beliefs have changed. You know, there's certain times where there's a belief now that my generation has that if you were 20, you would have looked at that and been like, I don't agree with it, but I can see why they do it. But now you're like, oh, whoa, I don't agree with that. That's bad. Like, I don't at all agree with that because your beliefs changed, and they will naturally do that. Now, as we get older, people believe that the youth does not want to work, while not understanding that as a society advances, the standard of how we work changes. Here are some examples. The Silent Generation grew up in the Great Depression, in a time of war, so they valued loyalty, as the companies that hired them often, at least the privately owned companies, not real big corporations, they could barely even feed themselves at a time, because no one could buy from them. No one had money to buy. So they couldn't hire new employees, because if they were to hire a new employee, they'd be taken out of their own mouth to feed somebody else. So when people would make exceptions for that, they obviously and rightfully stayed loyal to them, even after the Great Depression was over, because they gave them a chance when no other company would. Now, the standard of work for them, so the standard of work was then to stay loyal into a company until retirement. After they retired, that was it. They didn't switch to 50 different companies like a lot of us do now, but there's a reason for that. Baby boomers were born into an economic boom after World War II. Now, their standard of work was hard work, work hard at your job, and your job will take care of you. So they were pretty similar, but they're still a little bit different, right? They completely, their values were similar, but for different reasons, right? Generation X shared similar values to baby boomers, but a dual income home became almost necessary, as in both parents having a job because of our economy. You know, back then, in, you know, my, even my grandparents' generation, that was not very common. Usually the man would go and work, and the girl was able to sit, and she didn't have to go out and work. Some of them did, but they didn't have to. It was not very common. Now, most homes have both the man and the woman working. And people will often say, oh, when I was your age, I took care of my family. When I was just working, yet you have you and her working, and you can't do it. Well, that's because it changed. Now, it is pretty hard to support a family with only one person working, depending on the job you have. So their standard of work at the time was find work that gives you autonomy. Now, autonomy is having the power and ability to act independently and make your own choices. Now, the millennials they stopped being similar with the generation before them. Now they're a little more similar to ours. They experienced significant advancement in technology, and because of that, the standard of work at the time was find something flexible that gives you a work-life balance. So the millennials was about the people that started saying, you know, maybe I shouldn't work today, maybe I should take some time off. Maybe I should take a vacation or relax. You know, the generation before that, a lot of the time, they wouldn't take vacations because they wanted to go work. They needed to go work. And this generation was one of the first people to finally, you know, kind of look into it and be like, you know what, maybe I should take some time off this day and really think about what's going on with my life. Now, Generation Z was the first generation to grow up with internet and the first generation to question staying loyal to one company. So just between the other generation and Gen Z, there is a big shift. One was valuing loyalty, and in my generation, they're not loyal to their company anymore. Now, they'll work for somebody, and either the company will not be loyal to them and fire them, and it's a lot more common than it used to be, or opposite, they'll not be loyal to the company. The second they get a better, you know, job, second they get offered another job, they're out. There's no loyalty to it. It's gone. Now, the new standard of work, at least for my generation, is work for a purpose and don't settle for less. Every generation is not more lazy. The standard of work just changed as the world changed. It'd be wrong to look at the, it would be wrong to judge the generation that valued loyalty right now because I didn't experience the Great Depression. I have no idea what that was like. I could go to 15 different companies and apply. I might not get hired at any of them. It's kind of hard to do right now. But if I get hired at 15 different companies, that's 15 times more of a chance than they had. They had almost no chance of getting hired. They couldn't feed themselves, they couldn't feed their kids, so they had to value loyalty. Now, this shows us that Gen Z in every generation is no more lazy than any other generation and vice versa, given the circumstances, right? There are obviously people in every generation that were kind of lazy. I mean, we have people in my generation that are a lot softer now. And it's not all of them, but on average, there's probably more so now. Because the internet, you're going to expose to people telling you this is wrong, you should be offended by this, and everything. The other generations didn't have that. They had what was in their circle, in their opinions, and in the people that maybe they disagreed with opinions, just to think about. Now, what are some examples of bias in the Bible, and how did they get over it? The Bible says that Christians should be impartial and avoid favoritism, as bias and partiality are contrary to God's will. Now, here are Bible verses about bias and how to overcome it. So if you have a Bible, flip to Matthew 7, verse 1 to 3. I thought this was bolted into the ground. Apparently it's not. So I got a couple verses here. I might have you flip to two or three of them, and then I'm going to read the rest out because there's a kind of long list of them. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 3 says, refuse to be a critic full of bias towards others, and you will not be judged. Now, what that is saying is the Bible talks about judging you, right? When we judge other people, we need to look at this. Say I'm going to judge Stephen or something. Maybe Stephen shot right up. Maybe I'm going to judge Stephen or something. Maybe I'm going to judge a shirt. He's got a, that's crazy. He's got a nice shirt on, right? And if I didn't like his shirt, no, say I didn't, that, like an example, God wouldn't judge us based off our shirt. Say I don't like something about his personality, right? And I judge him on that. I should be willing to think about how God would judge me on that same thing. I shouldn't be willing to judge him for something that I would not be okay with being judged for, right? It'd be hypocritical of me. If I were to, you know, if he would have been like, that's not fair for you to judge me like that, and then when God judges me the same way, I'm like, oh, that's not fair. Why would you do that? Same exact thing. Now, James 2:1, if you have your Bible, flip to that. That'll be the last verse I probably have y'all flip to. So James 2, verse 1. So James 2, verse 1 says, my brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism. There's another verse talking about not showing favoritism, right? Now, that doesn't mean for everything. We can show favoritism towards something. I can, you know, have a favorite soda, have a favorite shirt. You know, it's not necessarily wrong to have a favorite person, but it depends on how you're going to treat everybody else around you. You know, you can have a best friend, but that doesn't mean that you should treat your other friends differently. You know, you might talk to them in a different way or, you know, act, you know, different ways with them, but you shouldn't treat them, you shouldn't do something for them that you wouldn't do for someone else, right? We should be able to do anything we do for our friend for anybody else. We shouldn't have to question that. Now, James 2:4, I want to have you flip to it. If you want, you can. James 2:4 says, have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? James 2:9 says, if you show favoritism, you commit sin. Now, an example of favoritism is when Isaac and Jacob showed partiality towards certain sons leading the conflict. If I show favoritism, but say two people believe that I am their best friend, and say it's Gideon and Julian, and I treat Julian better than I start treating Gideon, depending on how that is, that could lead to conflict, either with me or between each other. It could be the same with our kids. If we have kids, now, I don't know if parents actually have a favorite child. They never really answer that. But if they do, if you were to show, say you have two children and you show one more favorite, you favorite one more, you give this one more, you treat this one better, you let this one get away with more, the other kid is going to act out now. Because he's like, why on earth are you, why are you showing him favoritism? Cain and Abel. He thought God was favoring his brother. And what did he do? He killed him. It led to conflict right away. Now, the Bible teaches us about bias. No, sorry, now Bible teachings about bias. So if you ever had write the headline, Bible teachings about bias, if you're taking notes. And number one is Christians should make righteous judgments based on God's spirit, not on personal favoritism. We shouldn't look at the way someone dresses. The Bible says to dress modestly. But it does not say you need to wear this dress shirt tucked in or not tucked in. It doesn't say to wear these shoes, and it doesn't say you can't wear this brand in this way. It doesn't say this. So it would be very wrong for me to look at Derek and be like, man, how dare you wear those kind of shoes or that type of jacket or any kind of pants? Because in his eyes, those are nice. And in my eyes, I think they're nice. I like to say that now. But in my eyes, if I don't think they're nice and I started judging him based off of that, that's not very okay of me. That's wrong. Now, if the Bible said, and don't wear, what brand are your boots? Do you know? Arat. So if the Bible said, thou shall not wear Arat or something, I would be completely okay with saying, hey, by the way, Derek, I think that's wrong because the Bible says not to wear those. But if it's not saying it, and obviously we can use our common sense for a lot of stuff, you know, you shouldn't come in church with a pentagram on you. That's not great, right? Bible doesn't directly say pentagram by word, but we all have the common sense to say, I shouldn't probably be wearing that. So you need to watch what you're judging and see if you think God would judge somebody based off of that. Now, number two is Christians should love and treat all people equally without prejudice. We should not show any type of prejudice towards anybody, whether it's for the way they look, their skin color, the way they dress, their mannerisms, things that are not controllable by them. when we do that, it is very hard to minister to them. If I go out and I start bashing somebody in this room and everyone else heard me do it and I try to preach to them, I try to tell them something, they're not going to listen because they saw I was hateful and prejudiced towards somebody. And then why would they want to listen? They have no reason to, because that's not great. That's not a great thing for me to be doing. And then number four is Christians should repent and make amends if they treat others unfairly. Everyone's going to eventually mess up and treat somebody wrong. I've done it. I hope everyone else, not I hope everyone else has, but I know everyone else has, right? I hope I'm not the only one. Once you've done it, you can't take it back. Words, you cannot take words back. It doesn't matter if you apologize, if you forgive each other, you're going to remember it, no matter what. Whether you didn't truly mean it, to that person, you said it when you were angry, and often when you're angry, you say stuff that you mean, but you say it in a way you wouldn't usually say it. You know, if someone comes up to me and asks me something, and they ask for my opinion on it, I'm going to give them an honest opinion. But I'm not going to be hateful towards it and go, I think it sucks because of this, 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 and this. I'll answer their question. Do you think it looks bad? Yeah. I'm not going to tell them why unless they ask me. I'm not going to show hate towards that person. And if I do that, I need to ask them to forgive me. I'm going to say, I need you to forgive me for what I said to you. And I'm sorry that I did it. And when someone forgives you, that does not mean you can turn around and do it again. Same thing with God. If I do something 15 times and every time I do it, I tell God, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. He's going to start questioning, is he sorry? Or is he just saying that because he's afraid? Is that the only reason he's saying that? And everyone else can do the exact same thing. Now, number five is Christians should be patient with themselves and others. Now, being patient with yourself is knowing that, say you mess up something. Obviously, God tells us that when we pray, he's going to give it to us. Right? If it's in his will, he'll give it to us. If I am praying and I say, God, forgive me for what I just did, and I slip up and I do it again, we don't need to bash ourselves for 3 years straight and get into depression and do even worse things because we're so hurt that we did that. We need to not only be able to forgive ourselves, but then ask God for forgiveness. Just like if I were to do something to Derek and he forgave me, if I don't forgive myself, that's still harmful. Because I'm always going to think, oh, I did this. I said this to him. He might not care anymore, but I know I did it, and I care. You got to forgive yourself. Too hard on yourself, and I need to be the same with him. If I ask him to forgive me, and say he does something to me, and he's like, I need you to forgive me, and I'm like, I'm not going to forgive you. You did this to me. That's not okay. That's not okay at all. Because then if I do something to him, how do I expect him to forgive me? Now, if all we do is bash each other's generations, we will never have anything in common. We need to stop focusing on what we all don't have in common, because we're all different. Every generation, with everything I said being said, is different. A lot of people are worse, a lot of generations are worse at things than others are. You can't expect the baby boomers to be better at technology than Gen Z. We grew up with it. It's secondhand nature to us now. I know toddlers that, you know, they'll use iPads and I'm looking at them and I'm like, how did you do that? I don't even know how to do that. And I thought I knew enough about the technology. Apparently not as much as I thought I did. Now, we have a much harder time trying to tell them about Jesus when all we do is just hate on them and tell them, you know, even complimenting them, but like adding like a secondhand thing in there. Being like, man, you're hardworking, but man, your generation's lazy. Man, I hate how lazy they are. But you're good. Like, no, just compliment them. Say, you know, I like that your generation does this, and my generation actually did something similar to this. Now, we can try to help them with things they're bad at, just like I can with the older generations and the future generations. Putting them down is just going to make it worse. It's not helping anything. So in conclusion, we should put aside generational bias and be the generation that does not judge one another. And even generations that have done it before, it's not too late. Ask somebody from that generation to forgive you for judging them like that. They'll completely understand, because it's a lot better to ask for forgiveness than to just be so bitter and have such like a big ego that you just refuse to. You refuse to apologize. We should apologize for what we do to each other and try to do better. And not judge people based off of when they were born. Everyone to bow their head and close their eyes.